There's an episode in the comic strip Peanuts where Lucy comes up to her brother Linus and tells him that she has converted someone to her way of thinking religiously. Now, knowing his sister, Linus finds that a little hard to believe, and so he asks her the question, "Well, Lucy, how did you do that?" So Lucy explains, she said, "Well, I told him everything I believed, and I asked him to believe it. And when we came to something that he didn't see my way, I just hit him over the head with my lunchbox until he believed it." Now, I may have seen something similar through the years to lunchbox evangelism, and maybe you have too, where we try to browbeat someone or beat someone over the head to believe a certain thing. But that's not a very effective way of sharing our faith. So this morning, for a few minutes, as we really come to a close of this quarter, at least for today, and we think about ministry, I want to think about the ministry of evangelism or of sharing our faith. And I have subtitled this lesson, Raising the Bar. If you're familiar with this metaphor, it is a term that is used in athletics, especially in track and field, for high jumpers and pole vaulters. And if you've ever participated in that or seen a track and field event, that they will continue to raise the bar until everybody except one person is out, and to see how high they can jump. And that is an expression that we've come to use in our nomenclature about raising the bar in terms of doing better or increasing or growing in a certain area. Not to be content with where we are, content with the status quo, to raise standards, to raise expectations, to do a better job. So I want us to think about, in terms of sharing our faith this morning, how that we might raise the bar a little bit. Let me join with Steve in welcoming each one. We have guests with us today, and we're glad that you've come to be in our number. And it's good to see each one as a part of our church family here today. And I hope as we think about this lesson this morning, 2 weeks ago I talked about the ministry of the gospel, that we can think about our role in sharing the faith and how that we can improve and grow and literally might raise the bar. All right, the first thing I'd like to share with you is that evangelism is not about winning an argument. And sometimes we think of sharing our faith or being evangelistic as that we're trying to win an argument. And the wrong concept here is the idea that we have to engage in arguments in the first place or heated discussions and debates to be able to convert people to Christ. Now, let me say what I mean and don't mean about this. I don't mean that we're not supposed to contend for the faith. Jude in Jude 3 says that we are to contend for the faith. And Paul in Galatians 1 and verse 10 says that we seek to persuade men. But what I'm talking about here is an argumentative attitude or a contentious spirit or a quarrelsome approach. And that kind of approach to sharing our faith or evangelism is not very effective. And so I want to suggest that we can raise the bar when it comes to sharing our faith, that we can contend for the faith without being a contentious person, and that people can understand what we believe, and yet we can do it in the right kind of way. And Colossians chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6, Paul says, "Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." And what Paul is saying here is that we can contend without being contentious, that you can disagree with someone without being a disagreeable person, that you can affirm your faith without being offensive to other people, that you can differ with someone without being difficult, and you can persuade without being petty in your approach to it. And so as we think about sharing our faith, let's think about raising the bar and realize that it's not about trying to win arguments. Well, The second thing I would suggest, that evangelism is not trying to scare someone or intimidate someone to be baptized. That's not the approach or the attitude that we need to have. The wrong concept behind this is that you have to some way emotionally manipulate people through scare tactics or mind control. A number of years ago when I lived in Florida, there was a group that really sought to try to manipulate people through almost a controlling every facet of their lives and to scare them into falling in step and falling in line with their way of thinking. That cult, and I'll call it a cult, grew very rapidly for a while, but finally fell by the wayside because that way of thinking won't work. That way of thinking ultimately is not going to be very effective. Now, yes, I understand that our God is a consuming fire, Paul said in Hebrews 12 and 28, and the thought of losing our soul should scare us. And I'm not opposed to preaching sermons on hell, but what I'm saying is that evangelism, sharing our faith, is not about trying to manipulate people's emotions in some type of carnal fashion. In other words, we need to raise the bar that we can present a balance between the hope of heaven and the fear of hell. Yes, there is a hell that we ought to fear, and that we ought to fear losing our souls, but there is a hope that we have. And the Bible depicts the beauty and the glory and the grandeur of eternal life in heaven with God. We talked a little bit about that in our Bible class this morning and how that it is difficult sometimes to picture what that's going to be like in the spirit world. But the Bible seeks to give us some insight by using metaphors that we understand. And you get into the book of Revelation, and while there's parts difficult, it pictures there in very beautiful language and symbolic language of this wonderful place where there's no tears and no sorrow and no heartache and no death, and a place where the streets are paved with gold and the river of life runs through it, and God lights the city there, and where there are not any problems anymore. Heaven is a beautiful place. And so when we think about this, yes, we recognize the goodness and severity of God, but we also reason with people. We use the message to try to reason with them and to help them understand that they need to make an intelligent decision based upon Scripture. The message is good news. The word gospel literally means the good news. And if we think about things that are good news, don't we all like to hear good news? And it is good news in the gospel that God loves you, that Christ died for you, and there is a better home awaiting. There is a better place that God has prepared for His people to live. Well, a third thing I want to suggest, that evangelism is not getting people to join our church. And that may surprise us sometimes, but it's not about that. Because this approach suggests the idea in the minds, I think, of most people that we think that our church is better than their church, or the church is just like some club or denomination that you join. There is a sense, and I want to be careful when I say this. We were talking in our Bible class. You know, the Bible, we all know, is not written in English, and there are words that from the original language that are translated into English. Sometimes the translators, especially the 1611 translators, coined words, and that they came up with words, and then words change their meaning. Don't they only get church? Now, why do people think they only speak church? You know what most people get? Yeah, that's actually the name of this building. They make about a building. And some people, if they get past the building, they think of a lot of a club that you join, or some kind of organization where you go to meetings and you pay dues and you follow the bylaws. Is that really the picture of the Bible of the church? It's not. And the word church is from the Greek word ekklesia, which means a called out of. And it was a word that was used in their culture
There's the ecclesia, they call the kingdom, or the temple, or the body, or the family. And the Christians are referred to a different way, that we are the branches, and we are sheep, and we are disciples. Most people don't get that. And when we start arguing with people about, quote unquote, our church, what is that? Not what we say, it's what they do. And a lot of times they think that we're saying that we think that our church is better than their church. And that's not it at all. What we need is raise the bar and point people to Christ. Christ died for us. Christ bought the ecclesia with his blood. Christ purchased us and pardoned us and redeemed us and sought to bring us into a relationship with him in the spiritual body or union and ecclesia that we call the Hebrew church. But it's not a matter of some organization being better than another organization, but it's about us pointing people to Christ and being in Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, that we preach Christ crucified. And we need to preach Christ crucified. You know, one of the things that I've been enjoying about our new way of doing services this year is thinking more about Christ in the 9 o'clock hour. Of the way that Christ lived, the way that he died, the way that he called us, of our relationship to him, that we're preaching Christ crucified. I don't know how many guys get tired of that. It don't mean that we could, that we could talk too much about Jesus or think too much about him. We need to preach Christ. Paul put it in the Galatian letter this way. He said, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so our glory, our quote-unquote boasting, as he uses the word accommodatingly, is not in us. It's not in who we are as individuals, but it's in Christ, who he is and what he's done for us. Or in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, it says that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. And this is typical of New Testament preaching. Of the apostles taking the message of Christ and sharing Christ with people. See, the church, as we use the word, is not a denomination. I often tell people when they find out I'm a preacher, "Where do you preach?" And I will often say, "I preach for a non-denominational group." And they wonder what that means. And then we finally come around to talking a little bit more about it. But what I want to get across to them, we're not a part, because denomination or denominator indicates a fraction, doesn't it? That you're a part of a fraction. Well, we're part of the whole. We're part of the body of Christ that he purchased. But it is a relationship and it is a fellowship. I think we need to raise the bar in sharing our faith and point people to Jesus Christ. Well, evangelism is not about showing our self-righteousness to the world. That's not what it's about. And the wrong concept here is that you ought to be a Christian because we're better than anybody. Now, I know that no one says that. I hope not anyway. I hope none of us say that to anyone, literally. But you know, sometimes we can come across that way and come across that we're better than other people. You know, sometimes as preachers, if we're not careful, as preachers can do this by talking about how bad the world is and how sorry everything is and complaining about society. Rick Warren, in one of his books, called it "Ain't It Awful Preaching." And he says it's long on diagnosis but short on remedy. Instead of lighting candles, it curses the darkness. Now, are there bad things in the world? Absolutely. Are there problems? Is there sin? Yes. Is the devil on the loose? Of course. And yet there is good news. There is an answer, and we need to raise the bar, and we need to be salt and light. We need to be making a difference in the world that people can look at our lives and see that you don't have to conform to all the bad things that are in the world. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." The salt flavors that which it touches. The salt purifies. The salt seasons. We We're to be the spiritual salt of the earth. The light obviously illuminates. It shows the way. It dispels darkness. And the people can see the reflection of the light of Christ in us. You know, Christians have problems too. We have challenges. We fall short. And we should never act as if that we don't have any problems and that our home is perfect and we just totally have our act together. Someone put it this way, said the church is not a hotel for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. And so we're all working to grow and develop and to be stronger and to be less conformed to the world and to be transformed by Christ that we might become like Him. Well, sharing our faith is not getting people to adapt to us. And sometimes I'm afraid that we think it's all about getting people to change and be more like we are. And there's a wrong concept that we must change the sinner outwardly before he's good enough to be a Christian. A lot of people, in fact, have that idea because they've heard enough preaching and they say, well, Ken, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. Well, what if we all waited until we were good enough? None of us be Christians, would we? Who's good enough? Who among us is without sin that can say that we're good enough? And so if we think that we got to straighten somebody up in every part of their life before they're a candidate for Christianity and that they must talk and dress and act exactly like us, then we have missed the whole point. Now, again, I don't want to be misunderstood about this. I'm not saying that we should embrace things that are sinful or that we should engage in practices that either violate the Word of God or our conscience. But I'm afraid that sometimes we see others and we want to adapt. We want them to adapt their thinking to our thinking in lifestyle, in habit, in culture, and in every single way. And brother, may I just say parenthetically that sometimes that spills over into a lot of opinions about social and political matters. Did you know that you could be a Christian and be a Democrat? Now, you're going to go down that.
because they get so caught up in self. And think about yourself. For instance, they think evangelism is depending on their speaking skills. And I remember you say, well, preacher, you know, I don't want to talk to people about Jesus, and I'm not a very good speaker. I'm not like you are. I don't have a slick tongue, and I can't think that, and all this. You know what? Sometimes that is kind of dusty, because when I talk to people, they expect me, because they the world looks at me as a profession. And I don't really think of myself that way, but the world looks at preachers as a profession, and you're going to talk me into this religion thing. And you know, sometimes people are most effective in sharing their faith. It is just someone that hasn't been Christian all that long, and just from their heart tells what God has done in their life. Not eloquent, not fancy, but just from the heart. So, if you're trying to depend on your speaking skills, that you're a public persuader of people because of your eloquence, you're trying to depend on yourself and not God. Or, we think evangelism is depending on our vast knowledge. And, you know, I can share my faith and share Jesus, but I don't know enough. Well, how much do you need to know? I mean, if you obey the gospel, and you know the Bible's the word of God, and there is a God, and Jesus is the Son of God, and you repent of your sin and confess Christ, or baptize your vision of sins, how much more do you need to know to tell someone else that? I remember a lady, a number of years ago, I was preaching in Florida, and she was up in years a little bit. I reflect back, probably not as old as I thought she was at that time. But anyway, she was retired and living in a retirement community there in Florida. And her son had become a Christian, and he did try to talk to his mom. And pretty soon, she was with him for a couple months. She obeyed the gospel. I think he was in Mississippi at the time. And so she was coming back to winter in Florida. And so he called me to let me know about his mom that would be showing up at services. She had become a Christian. You know what she did the first Sunday she came to church? She brought her next door neighbor. She didn't know much. She knew she was a Christian. And she knew Jesus. And she just brought her neighbor. Guess what? Her neighbor was baptized. Now this woman didn't know exactly where to start. And so she asked me what I had said to her. And so I went to the whole park. And we had a study. And the neighbor was baptized. Well, isn't it great that she didn't wait that she had a lot of knowledge before she started sharing her faith? You can share your faith without a whole lot of knowledge. Or that evangelism is dependent on my years of experience. Really? I don't think so. That you don't have to have years of experience to tell people the good news about Jesus. Or that it's dependent upon my prestige or my material influence or some connection that I have, and people are going to look at me and I'm going to have influence. Oh, really? The gospel's not about influence. It's not about power, position, or prestige, or material advantage that people look. No, the gospel is about you sincerely from the heart telling someone what Christ has done in your life. That's enough. So raising the bar simply means put your trust in the power of the word. Don't put your trust in yourself or your own accomplishments or your own abilities or your own knowledge or your own skills. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power, ladies and gentlemen, is in the gospel. We need to work to raise the bar. We need to do more in sharing our faith. Now, I want to close. I've mentioned this to my Bible class, and I just want to share with you. I was in Grinnell, Iowa this week, and thank you all for helping make that possible and having fellowship in that work. The church there is small. We had 38 on Sunday morning. But you know what? The church may be small, but their faith there is great. Every service has been a service. At every service, we had at least one person come up with a Christian. Because the people there were sharing their faith with them. And that was a community of 9,000 people. One night, there was a lady that she was, I don't know how long she's been a Christian, but had been But at this lady, it makes a difference. I'm at the Earth Creek Council. And seven people there that I have Christians. That's sharing the faith. They talk, they volunteer to work. And I guess two things on my heart about this. One, this is the month of the quarter we did inside the ministry. And so we need to be reminded the ministry is not just good deeds, although it is good deeds of medical work and things like this. Ministry is spiritual. And ministry is sharing the word. Ministry is about the gospel. And let's not forget that. But secondly, we've got a meeting coming up Sunday. What are we going to do to tell our friends about it? Are we waiting to know more, learn more, be more, wait for something? I mean, could all of us do what that lady has been a Christian less than a year do and just tell us, people, I'm going to church at night. I like you doing with me. I like you coming to the gospel preach. I'd like to share my faith with you. I think we could. Sean's going to come into a wonderful job. He's going to preach the word of God. And he's going to talk about becoming holy like Christ. And while really the theme is designed to help us and to piggyback on our theme of becoming like Christ, all of the lessons will be of such a nature that people that are out in the world that are lost without Christ, they're going to follow these lessons. And it's going to sow the seed in their hearts that help them learn to know Christ. So I encourage us each to do the best we can, but to do what we can, and be able to share our faith day by day. Well, thank you for listening so patiently and for your kindness. We're going to close our service this morning with a song of invitation and encouragement. Selected. If you only believe God, and maybe you're not a Christian this morning, and although we really haven't addressed in detail what that means, it means serving Christ, coming to Christ, loving God, obeying the gospel through faith and repentance of sin, and baptism in Christ. And the reason baptism is because Jesus said he who believes in his baptism should be saved. Baptism